Today, I'm going straight for the jugular. Managers who think their team's only purpose is to shut up and work. And you know the type. The ones who make it painfully clear that they're too busy, too important, or just too annoyed to deal with their own team. They might as well wear a sign that says, "Don't bother me." And that's how you kill team morale and productivity faster than you can say resignation letter. I'm Wayne Robertson, and welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the podcast where I call out tired business cliches, crash outdated management tactics, and update the playbook for how work should get done. And if you're here to play it safe, you might be in the wrong place. Because in this episode, I'm exposing the damage caused by dismissive leadership. Why this don't bother me mentality is pure poison for your projects. And more importantly, how to fix it before your team checks out for good. So if you're ready to ditch the old school method and build a team that's fired up to succeed, hey, let's get into it. Hey, the following story is fictional, as I'm not able to reveal actual experiences, which are confidential. However, it does exemplify the key issue of this whole attitude problem. Today's story is about Tom. He's a manager who thought he had it all figured out, until his team staged a full-on revolt that forced him to rethink everything he thought he knew about leadership. Now, Tom was a high-performing manager, known for his technical expertise and ability to juggle a packed schedule. But there was one big problem. Tom hated being interrupted. His team quickly learned that asking questions was a one-way ticket to his bad side. Because they'd hear things like, "You should know this by now. I don't have time for this. Figure it out for yourself. I've got more important work to do." Now, at first, the team tried to deal with it. They second-guessed themselves, avoided bringing up issues, and struggled to stay on track without guidance. But as the weeks went by, their frustration grew. Tasks started slipping through the cracks, morale hit rock bottom, and the team began to feel completely abandoned. Then came the meeting. One afternoon, Tom called a team meeting to address the growing list of issues plaguing the project. He walked in expecting a brainstorming session to fix their problems, and what he got instead was an intervention. One by one, team members spoke up. They told him point blank that his behavior was unacceptable. They felt ignored, unsupported, and undervalued. And one team member summed it up: "If this does not change, we're all leaving." Now, at first, Tom was livid. How dare they blame him? He was working his tail off. But as the room fell silent and their words sank in, he realized they were probably right. His team wasn't the problem. He was. So surprisingly, instead of doubling down on his bad attitude, Tom did something no one expected. He leaned forward and asked, "Okay, what do I need to do to change?" Well, the team was caught off guard, but they did give him a list of requests. Be available for questions and guidance. Show appreciation for their efforts. Provide clarity on goals and expectations. And support them when challenges arise. Well, Tom did promise he'd try, but he didn't stop there. That night, he went home and started researching and devouring articles and books on effective management and leadership and how to build strong teams. He then began to realize how far off track he'd been, and he decided it was time to put his learning into practice. So the next week, the team saw a different Tom. He started holding regular check-ins where team members could discuss problems and get his input. And he made a point to thank them for their work, and he celebrated small wins. And when issues arose, he offered solutions instead of dismissals. Realistically, the change was slow at first, but the team noticed. They started to trust him, leaning on him for support instead of avoiding him. And something incredible happened. With his guidance, the team began to thrive. They tackled their tasks with energy and enthusiasm, and they were hitting milestones ahead of schedule. Now, Tom himself felt the shift. For the first time in years, he enjoyed his work. He realized that being a great manager wasn't about staying buried in his own tasks. It was about helping his team succeed. And in the end, the project was a massive success. But more importantly, Tom learned that leadership isn't just about hitting goals. It's about building relationships and empowering the people around you. So, if you're a manager who's ever felt too busy or too important to deal with your team, take a lesson from Tom. Sometimes all it takes is listening, learning, and a willingness to change to turn things around. So let's take a look at what Tom did. Tom's transformation from a dismissive, overworked manager to a supportive, thriving leader did not happen overnight. It was a deliberate process rooted in humility, research, and consistent action. And here's the steps he took to rebuild trust and boost team performance. So, after the team's intervention, Tom took their concerns seriously, and instead of dismissing their complaints, he reflected on their feedback and admitted to himself that his management style was hurting the team. He reframed their critique as an opportunity to grow, not an attack. So, for managers, if you're in this spot, listen without defensiveness when your team provides feedback and acknowledge your role in the problem. You always have some kind of role in the problem. And transparency builds trust. And then commit to change publicly, saying, "I hear you, and I will do better." This is a very powerful first step. So, what was the next step Tom did? He researched articles and books and case studies on effective management. And he focused on understanding the team's needs and the principles of servant leadership, which prioritize the team's well-being and success over the manager's ego. And key resources included topics like active listening, emotional intelligence, and team empowerment. So if you're a manager in this spot, dedicate time to learning. Look for resources on leadership and communication and team building. You could attend management workshops or seek mentorship from someone with strong leadership skills. And you could also reflect on your management habits and identify areas for improvement. So the next step, Tom started holding weekly office hours where team members could ask questions and discuss concerns without feeling like they were bothering him. He introduced a regular team meeting to address challenges collaboratively. He emphasized short, frequent check-ins instead of waiting for formal reviews. And so for a manager who wants to solve this, create the consistent opportunities for communication, such as one-on-one meetings, team huddles, and open office hours. Also, foster a culture where questions and discussions are encouraged and they're not seen as interruptions or a problem. And be approachable and ensure your team knows the value of their input. So now, Tom started acknowledging the team's hard work during meetings and in private conversations. And when a team member solved a difficult problem, he celebrated their success and shared their achievement with upper management. He showed gratitude even for small wins, which boosted morale and motivation. So if you regularly recognize team members for their efforts, both publicly and privately, that goes a long ways to helping. And you could also use tools like handwritten notes, shout-outs in meetings, maybe even recognition software to highlight accomplishments. And show gratitude consistently. It builds loyalty and improves morale. Next, Tom focused on giving clear instructions and setting realistic expectations for tasks. And instead of dismissing questions, he took time to explain his reasoning or provide solutions. He ensured his team had the resources and tools they needed to succeed. So always clarify objectives and deadlines and deliverables, and be patient when addressing questions, and view them as opportunities to coach rather than annoyances that mess your day up. And proactively identify and remove roadblocks that hinder your team's progress. Now, Tom did follow up on his promises. If he said he would address a problem, he made sure it got resolved. He remained consistent in his behavior, demonstrating that his commitment to change wasn't temporary. So you want to be reliable. If you commit to something as a leader, whether it's a process change or a meeting, make sure you deliver on it, because the consistency builds trust. Don't let some old habits resurface once the initial pressure is off. Also, be patient. Rebuilding trust takes time, especially if the relationship has been badly damaged. Also, Tom decided to empower his team. He delegated tasks more effectively because trusting his team to handle responsibilities without micromanaging was a great burden lifter. He encouraged them to share ideas and to take ownership of their work. And over time, the team became more engaged and proactive because they felt valued and empowered. So as a manager, you need to avoid micromanagement, which, by the way, is really easy to do. That's not hard. You need to show your team that you trust them by delegating meaningful tasks. Ask for their input on decisions and act on suggestions when possible. And encourage innovation and autonomy to help them grow professionally. Now Tom needed to reflect and adjust. He regularly reviewed his progress, and he asked his team for feedback on how he was doing, and he used their input to refine his approach, ensuring he stayed aligned with their needs. So you need to make reflection a habit. Set aside time to evaluate your performance as well as theirs. And you want to create an open door policy for feedback. Because when you ask, "What can I do better?" make sure you're ready to act on it. Because leadership is an evolving skill. You need to stay adaptable and open to continuous improvement. So what happened? Well, Tom's changes didn't just salvage his team, they supercharged it. Productivity increased as his team felt supported and motivated. Morale improved as they trusted Tom to guide them effectively. And Tom found himself more fulfilled in his role, realizing that leading a happy, engaged team was far more rewarding than just hitting deadlines. By following these steps, Tom turned his management style and his team around. So if you're struggling with a similar situation, remember, change starts with listening, learning, and a commitment to do better. Your team's success is your success. Don't ignore that, ever. So let's take a look at some of these factors and see how we can handle them. How often do you feel bothered by your team, and what does that say about your leadership approach? The perception of team members as interruptions rather than collaborators is a common pitfall in management. A manager's primary job is to guide, support, and empower their team, not to sit in isolation with, quote-unquote, more important work. So, why do team members approach managers? Well, there are several things. One of them is they need clarity, because ambiguity leads to stalled progress, or even worse, going in the wrong direction. They may need resources. Missing tools or support hinders their ability to deliver results. They also need validation. Seeking approval or reassurance for their work is part of a healthy process. And they also need guidance. Managers exist to steer the team towards success. And this is especially true during major challenges. Now, what's a consequence of the standoffish approach, where you hide in an office by yourself? Well, there's going to be low morale. Team members feel unsupported and undervalued. There's reduced productivity. The fear of bothering their manager leads to unresolved issues and delays. If it gets worse, there becomes a team revolt, because persistent neglect breeds resentment, disengagement, and a high turnover. And even worse, you get project failures. A disengaged team lacks direction, which ultimately hurts the outcomes, and the projects or the actions may fail. So what do we do to resolve the standoffish problem? Well, the first thing you need to do is recognize and acknowledge the problem. It's kind of like, it's similar to what they do in AA. Recognize the problem. Accept that team interruptions are not distractions. They are the essence of your role. That's the most important thing. Reflect on past interactions where your team may have felt dismissed or unsupported. It's time to shift your mindset. Reframe the team questions as needs and opportunities to lead and empower. And understand that a team's success is a reflection of your ability to guide them. Communication becomes really critical at this point. Schedule regular check-ins, weekly one-on-ones or team huddles. Set very clear times for open office hours where the team knows they have your full attention, although you should be able to meet them at any time. Encourage team members to ask questions or raise concerns without fear of judgment, especially if they have to bring up something negative. Next, provide clarity and support. Be proactive in sharing clear expectations and instructions. That's the best thing you can do for a team. Set the clear expectations. And make sure team members understand project goals and their individual roles. And address questions with patience and detail, ensuring they walk away with confidence. And this may require repeating it several times. Now, this one is weird because we've all done it. You need to be a good listener. Stop multitasking when the team approaches you. Give them your undivided attention. Listen to understand, not just to respond. And maybe that means repeating back key points to confirm your understanding and show that you are engaged. You also need to show appreciation and build trust, which is not going to happen fast. But recognize and celebrate their achievements, big or small. Thank team members for bringing problems to your attention because it shows they care about the project. And be consistent in your behavior to rebuild trust if it's been damaged. And then you need to empower the team. Turn them loose. Because you want to delegate tasks with trust, not micromanagement. You want to encourage them to take ownership of their work while making it clear that you're there for support and build their confidence by coaching them through challenges instead of solving every problem for them. Now, the next step is to continuously reflect and improve on what you're doing. You need to seek feedback on a regular basis, asking the team, how can I better support you? And you need to do that with the whole team together and also one-on-one. Assess your progress in changing your management style and commit to ongoing learning through articles and books and training on leadership and team dynamics. Now, being bothered by your team is a signal, not a Being bothered by your team is a signal, not a burden. It highlights areas where they need leadership and support. Because a manager's true success is measured by the performance, engagement, and satisfaction of the team. And by shifting your mindset and creating open communication and empowering your team, you don't just fix problems. You create a thriving, collaborative environment where everybody succeeds. So, what do? We put together an action plan. If you're in this spot, this week, schedule one-on-one meetings and ask for feedback. In this next month, establish regular office hours or Q&A sessions. And in the next 3 months, attend a workshop or read a book on leadership on best practices. But most importantly, ongoing, commit to showing up for your team every day with patience, clarity, and a willingness to help. So, your team doesn't bother you because they want to. They come to you because they trust you. Don't break that trust. Lean in, guide them, and watch your team and yourself thrive. So, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've covered today. The idea of being bothered by your team isn't a sign you're too busy. It's a wake-up call that your team needs you, and that's exactly why you're there. As a leader, your primary responsibility isn't just to oversee tasks or deliver reports. It's to lead, guide, and support your team. Their success is your success. The stronger your connection with your team, the more aligned, engaged, and effective they'll become. And here's some important things to do. You need to be approachable. It matters. Your team comes to you because they trust your guidance. Don't break that trust. And this one really does work. Small changes make big impact. Shifting your mindset, opening communication, and showing appreciation will dramatically transform how your team performs. And empower your teams. When you support and empower your team, you create a collaborative, productive environment where everyone succeeds. So now it's time to put these ideas into action. Start small. Schedule a one-on-one with a team member this week, or dedicate an hour to answering questions. Show them you're there for them, and I promise you'll start to see the shift. Your team doesn't just need a manager. They need a leader, someone who listens, supports, and empowers them to do their best work. So you be that leader. When you do, you'll not only transform your team, You'll transform yourself. So remember this. Leadership is not about keeping your head down and doing important work, quote unquote. It's about lifting your team up so they can do their best work. The more you engage with your team, the more you'll realize they're not bothering you. They're building something great with you. So that's all the time we have. It goes quickly, but please go to WayneRobertson.com for the latest new episodes and additional information about this new world of getting things done. You can find the different locations where you can conveniently listen to the podcast, subscribe to a mailing list, find some documentation. I also welcome comments about the podcast episodes and subjects you'd like to see in future episodes. I don't have all the answers. And I'm so always happy. I don't have all the answers, but I'm always happy to see your comments and information. We are all in this together, and the more information we share, the better off we'll all be. So let us all know what you found, what works in your projects.